Fisk! Matilme! Fisk! Oh, potater!
Jag älskar fisk och potater!
That do like it best!
Ja!
Geppetto's Junkyard returns with puppets, dinner theater, and the mystery of life. Skagway goes to state with robots. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Bern Power. Those stories and more coming up after this. Two Haines residents have been charged with taking an illegal moose. Wildlife trooper Rick Merritt explains.
Fred Folletti has been charged with taking a moose during a closed season, unlawful possession and transportation of illegally taken game, and providing false information on a hunt report. Steve Ripley has been charged with unlawful possession and transportation of illegally taken game.
Trooper Merritt relates the procedure involved with ascertaining that a violation had occurred.
Well, we started on the opening day of moose season, September 15th. We started an investigation into Fred Folletti and U.S. Border Customs Officer Stephen Ripley for a suspected shooting a moose the day before season. We got that information by another hunting party that was hunting in the general area of the Katsahine River. We started an investigation, interviewed both suspects, and we observed and went to the kill site. And after looking at the kill site, taking temperatures of the carcass, at that point we had determined that that moose had been shot the day before, not that morning as claimed. So from there, we ended up issuing a search warrant for both Folletti and Ripley's residence. Once we were granted the search warrants, we reviewed the data that was basically what we were asking for at that time on search warrants was cameras, still picture cameras, video cameras, GPSs, any type of logs, pictures, stuff of that nature that would have something to do with the case. We did seize a GPS from Stephen Ripley, and after the warrant was issued, we had the data downloaded. The downloaded data provided us with information that was able to help us determine when that moose was shot.
Merritt explains the next step in the process.
So basically the next step here with the Folletti and Ripley case is they have been summoned to court on December 23rd at 10 a.m., and that is going to be their initial arraignment date. And from there, the magistrate will give instructions, will advise the two individuals what they've been charged with, and at that point, they will have to make a decision whether they're going to plead not guilty, guilty, or no contest.
You can run over the patient, right? That's okay.
No, it's not the sounds of a video game or an action movie. It's the sound of the Juno Robotics Jamboree. The Haines team tied with Skagway for second place in robotic performance, and Skagway came in first overall for Southeast Alaska. Tenny Bentz, the Haines coach, and Skagway coach Vivian Meyer explain what the tournament was about.
This was an eighth grade robotics class that we've been working on for the entire semester. The students had their robots that they programmed complete the task, and then ended up at the end of the day competing against Skagway for second place.
So there's four parts. There's the actual robot itself that does the mission, and they give a separate award, and that's what we actually came in second place on that and tied with Haines because we both ended up with 180. And then there's the robotic design, which is when you go in and you talk to some judges and you tell them why you built the robot the way you did. And then there's the teamwork. And because this is body forward, they had to come up with some part of the body and create a project And so my kids were called they decided to call themselves the Winter Weezers, and they took, their project was about asthma, because two of the seven kids have asthma.
My name is Daniel Johnston, and I was the assistant coach for the team. This was the first LEGO League tournament. These are LEGO robots. Well, I guess we obviously can't show you on the radio, but they have computerized brains, and then the computer drives motors based on programs that the students created. So, can you turn that on, Christine? I'm going to let it make some robot noises for...
Okay.
Caroline Ward, Brittany Hupp, and Zach Lambert of the Haynes School discuss a skit about robotic prosthetics.
We went to a robotic tournament in Juneau. It was a body forward challenge. Like, we had to do all these different tasks for programming, and then we had to make a presentation, and ours was about prosthetics.
Oh, we did a skit. Like, I had to pretend like I didn't have a leg, and then Megan and me talked about finding someone who can make one, and then Zach pretended to make one.
It was about people that were allergic to the latex band and the prosthetics, and trying to find a new, more efficient way to make one right.
Meanwhile, as the Haynes students reinvent the future, the Skagway robotics team is on their way to state for the second year in a row. Vivian Meyer tells us more.
And then we got the championship award, so that was really, really exciting for them. And the Juneau Economic Development will pay their way to Anchorage then. If we win that, then we'll go on to World.
The Haynes team also came home with a second honor. Daniel Johnston fills us in.
We had a very difficult time getting to Juneau, just the traveling for the trip. We were canceled on our ferry, the Fairweather canceled on us on Friday, and we throughout the day heard that there would be funding for us to go on a plane, and then there wasn't funding, and so the kids had a very up and down day on Friday thinking they were going to Juneau and that they weren't going to Juneau, and in the end, due to a generous donation from a local businessman, we did get to travel to Juneau and compete in the competition, and because of all of our struggles, we were awarded with the Against All Odds Award for the tournament. Just for getting there. And for this group of students who has never competed or built any of these style robots before, for them to take second place in the robotic performance was also against all odds and was pretty special for these guys.
During the time of year when many people think about one specific birth, Geppetto's Junkyard returns with a puppet show called The Miracle of Life that explores the process of conception and birth in a humorous way. For the puppeteers, the show is something a little different than anything they have attempted in the past. Chorus Bishop came into the KHNS studios to discuss the project.
Yeah, it is a little bit different in that this show is going to be a little bit more in the audience. The puppeteers are going to be not quite so hidden behind the stage. It's a very set intensive performance, meaning that a lot of the time is spent on the dynamics and the mechanics of each of the different stages. We're going to be using things like shadow puppetry, but also a lot of sort of costumes for the puppeteer cast themselves. So we're going to be puppeteers ourselves part of the time. There are going to be, traditional marionettes, some puppets that you may be already familiar with.
Fisk! Matilme! Fisk! Oh, potato!
Je elsker fisk! Oh, potato!
That do like it best!
Yeah!
This is the first Geppetto's Junkyard show to have an overall theme. In a way, this was Chorus Bishop's baby. He explains the genesis of the idea.
The theme is where babies come from. That's actually how the story begins. Some young children are arguing about how it is that everyone comes to be. They end up going to ask their grandmother about it, and she tells a sort of wonderful tale that's totally appropriate for their ears. But a lot of the humor of the show is in the sort of visual illustration that corresponds to her story. I got the idea from a video that they show you in school that I was shown, and it's basically a microscopic depiction of how it is that the fetus develops, exchange of genes and all of that, and the whole process of conception all the way up to birth. It sort of hit me at one moment that there would be a lot of potential for very humorous possibilities with puppetry.
And they're off with an explosive exit out of the starting gate. Just look at them go, ladies and gentlemen. We are certainly in for an exciting race.
And what an amazing start it is, Jim, as it should be. An estimated 250 million contestants have now entered the field for this race, and every one of them is hell-bent for that egg.
That's right, Bob. The competition is just huge. Not surprisingly, after all, only one of these contestants will win this race.
The Miracle of Life will be performed both as a puppet show and as dinner theater, featuring fine meals prepared by Geppetto's Junkyard and friends.
Geppetto's Junkyard presents The Miracle of Life. The location is going to be at Mosey's Cantina. Opening night is Wednesday, December 15th at 7 p.m. And then there are two matinee shows on Thursday and Friday, both at 4 p.m. And then there are two dinner theater performances also Thursday and Friday, but at 7 p.m.
Tickets for The Miracle of Life are available at The Babbling Book in Haines or at the door.
That's good news.
This is Burn Power for KHNS News. Tara Bicknell returns in January.